Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and boy, I have a full house for you today. To my left, Mr. Christopher Hollister. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Jonathan. How are you, sir?
I have been better. I just lost an episode to Carmella last week, and I am still upset about it.
Yeah, you got slapped around pretty good.
Not as bad as you, though.
Well, we both got equally slapped around.
No, it wasn't equal.
It was 50 Shades of Carmella, after all.
Oh, boy. To Chris's left, I have my boy Ben. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Man, glad to have you back.
Oh, glad to be here, man. It's always a blast.
Literature himself.
Mr. Literature.
That's right.
We have last week's champion, Carmella, in the house.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Carmella. We don't like you anymore, just for the record.
You didn't like me to begin with, Jonathan. Don't lie.
Okay. That's fair. And at the table with Carmella, we have Mr. Demeter.
How's it going?
Hey, man. So you're in a contestant's chair today.
I'm paired up with Carmella. We're going to win this week.
No,
all
boy.
They do is win.
So you know what happens? If she loses now, it's because of Mark.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
No pressure at all, Mark.
Nope.
So something cool happened. You guys know that I pay attention. I work really hard on trying to increase our listenership and making sure that people like what we're doing and that we're responsive. And so I check our stats and I check the different places that you can go to figure out what's going on. And one of the places that I check is iTunes. And I usually do a trivia search, basically search for the word trivia. I always want to make sure that we show up at the top of that list or near the top of that list. Today, I just did a quick check over in the hobbies page because that's where we actually sit is in hobbies and did a search of all shows in the hobbies by rank. We were at number 34 this morning. Ooh. Out of there's thousands of hobby shows, by the way. We were number 34. A couple of minutes later, I checked that we were number 42. So apparently we're losing ground.
No, that's the answer to everything.
That's exactly right. We are the universal answer to everything. Trivial Warfare.
That's a good place to get stuck, actually. but we're in the top 50 for hobby shows, guys.
That's awesome.
And also, the Major League Baseball has retired our number. Around 42.
Absolutely. Are you saying we should retire this podcast?
No.
Well, maybe this episode after I win.
All right. Well, hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
It's time to warm it up.
All right.
I'm sorry. It's not time to warm it up. My bad. I forgot to mention today's show is sponsored by Loot Crate. So Loot Crate is the awesome subscription service that you can go to get epic geek and gamer items delivered straight to your house. We will talk more about Loot Crate after the midpoint. Now, it's time to warm it up.
You know what? I don't mind being interrupted for Loot Crate. I'm good with that.
I'm with you.
All right. So, lady and gentlemen, I have I used to drink a lot of soft drinks. I was a soda guy for a very, very long time. And about a year and a half ago, I was able to kick it and I haven't had almost 2 years now. I haven't had a soft drink in almost 2 years. So, this is the top 10 top selling soft drinks of 2014.
The top 10 selling soft drinks.
That is correct in terms of money.
Okay.
So, financial stuff. And just to let you know, energy drinks are not included on this list. That actually is included on a whole nother thing. So Monster not on there, Red Bull, etc. So we're going to go round robin until there's one person standing. And
oh, if you miss, you're out?
You miss, you're out.
Oh, wow.
All right. So think of your best answers. And we're going to start with Ben because, Ben, you're directly to my left. So, Ben.
So the easiest one is Coca-Cola.
I need you to be more specific, please.
Coca-Cola Classic?
That is number one with the bullet. And that is absolutely correct.
New Coke?
All right. Carmella.
Pepsi.
Pepsi-Cola is correct, and that's number two on the list. Mark.
So I get put in the number three spot after the two obvious. I'm going to go with Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi number 7 on the list.
I'm going Diet Coke.
Diet Coke's number 3 on the list. So everybody survived the first round. It gets a little harder now. Ben, on to you.
Let's go with Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew number 4 on the list.
So really?
Yep. So wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 have all been picked. Carmella, it is to you.
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper's number 5 on the list. Gets a little tougher, Mark.
Am I stealing all your answers, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go with Barks Root Beer.
The first person eliminated, Mark.
You won't
sorry,
be the last.
Baywatch. All right. Jonathan.
He won't be the last, let me tell you. Okay, so what have we named in what order?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 7.
So Coke, Diet Coke, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Mountain Dew, and Dr. Pepper. Those are the ones that are out.
That is correct.
Right?
You said Diet Pepsi, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say Coke Zero.
Coke Zero number 10. That was...
Coke Zero
was
terrible.
I used to drink
your tongue. Bite it.
I used to drink that stuff like crazy. Okay, so it gets a little harder now. We got 6, 8, and 9 left.
6, 8, and 9.
Yep.
Crap, if you both get it, I'm down to 1 left.
Just trying to think of something that would potentially sell a lot. I'm going to go with Diet Dr. Pepper.
I'm sorry, you are now out. All right, Carmella, you're up.
My personal favorite, Sprite.
Sprite number 6 on the list.
I just had Sprite earlier.
All right. So, Jonathan, if you get this one, you stay in.
And if I miss it, Carmella wins.
And Carmella wins.
That's again.
Number 8 and number 9 are left.
So, I'm going to talk a little bit here.
Shocker.
Shocker.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Yes.
There's the 10s now. Dr. Pepper 10, I have a case of it in my refrigerator over here right now. I think about that. I think about Mr. Pibb. I think about A&W root beer. I think about ginger ale, perhaps? Or Mellow Yellow? Oh, you know what? Trying to picture how much space is allocated to each item on the shelf.
Man, he's taking a lot of thought in this warm it up, Chris, question.
Have we met? My name's Jonathan.
Fair enough.
I'm going to say Cherry Coke.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. You are off the island. The winner of this round of Warm It Up, Chris, is Carmella.
Woo! I win again!
Carmella, would you like to try to guess number 8 or 9?
Sierra Mist.
Sierra Mist is not. You would have been off the island yourself at that point in time. Number 8 is Fanta Orange.
I love Fanta Orange.
And number 9, Diet Mountain Dew.
Really?
Diet Mountain Dew is number 9.
If it wasn't for me buying those, they wouldn't be on that list.
That's a good probability, as a matter of fact.
Jonathan Oakes is like individually supporting that brand.
I really, that's one of my favorite drinks. I had no idea that it was that popular.
The source of that material was caffeineinformer.com. So that is your warming up, Chris, question of the episode.
Cool.
So today's show is me versus Chris versus the team of Carmella and Mark. We had debate over who the team should be. We knew we were going to have a team of two, and it got situated such where once people sat down, nobody wanted to change their seat, so we're going with it.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. So Ben, you're the host with the most. Go ahead and take it away.
All right. So round one, your first question is in the category of holidays.
Holiday.
Hollandaise?
Holidays.
Oh. Haagen-Dazs?
What national holiday in Mexico has picnickers munching chocolate coffins and sugar skulls?
I'm locked in. Are y'all locked in?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Jonathan, you can talk it out.
Okay, so I'm betting somebody put Halloween, but in Mexico, they don't do Halloween. It's the Dia del Muerte, the Day of the Dead. So that's what I put.
My answer was Day of the Dead.
We said Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead.
Nobody put Halloween. Yes. You guys are too smart. This is not good.
You have no faith in us.
I don't. Of course not.
None.
Good job.
That felt good.
All right. Your second question is in the category of geography.
Geography.
How many U.S. states border the Gulf of Mexico? As everyone draws their maps of the United States.
You're not joking, dude.
Yeah, I'm locked in.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, so, I answered 5.
Guys, what did you say?
We said 5.
Yeah.
Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Florida. My answer is five.
Five.
Yes. Ooh,
I got a geography question right. Man, this game is already starting like way better than the last game. Without a shadow of doubt. All right, Ben, close out the first round.
All right. Last question of the round is in literature.
I love it.
What model appeared topless on the self-penned 1993 novel Pirate? I'll read it again.
Thank you.
What model appeared topless on the self-penned 1993 novel Pirate?
I'm locked in.
I'm locked in.
All right. Okay. So, something in 90s supermodels.
Right.
Unless it's, you know, someone older like Janice Dickinson.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, because, I mean, that was when I was in my prime with all my Sports Illustrateds and all that stuff. So I was thinking like Kathy Ireland, Elle McPherson.
Cindy Crawford?
Cindy Crawford. I don't think she would go topless.
I don't think she would either. Would Claudia Schiffer go topless?
She doesn't really have anything to go topless with, I didn't think.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't think she did.
Naomi Campbell is all
gorgeous,
leg.
Dude.
Hey, we're talking over here.
So 93. So it's
what
like,
what do you have?
Well, we also have to think of someone who would have written a book.
What about like Pamela Anderson?
You're still stuck on this Baywatch. Thing,
well, I mean, but she was with like no, but she was with like Tommy Lee.
Yeah,
and she was. I mean,
and she has written books.
Yes. More than like coloring books.
You know, coloring books are all the rage right now.
True.
What do you
want to go with?
I'm kind of stuck between either Kathy Ireland or Pamela Anderson. And Pamela Anderson, I know she would go topless.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to say Pam Anderson?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, Pam Anderson.
Okay, I went a completely different way. Topless and then pirate. It kind of made me think romance novels and stuff like that. And so I said Fabio.
The answer that I went with, I figured the person had to be able to go topless without being a big deal. Otherwise, we would have heard of it. And Fabio went topless on a lot of stuff. So I said Fabio as well.
Correct answer is Fabio.
Oh. Right.
By the way, Kathy Ireland's a good old Christian girl. There's no way she would do that.
All right. So after after one round, Jonathan and I are tied at 30. Carmel and Mark, Team Awesome, is at 20.
Team Awesome. How about...
I think we should have like a new team name every round.
That was my goal, as a matter of fact. We'll see how well I do.
Their team mythology. She likes Demeter. He is Demeter.
That's true.
Wow.
You should have told me that beforehand. I would have wrote that down as one of them. All right, Ben, what you got next?
All right. So second round, your first question is in the category food. May Queen, Whistly Crab, Fox Whelps, and Lane's Prince Albert are all species of what? I'll read them again. May Queen, Whistly Crab, Fox Whelps, and Lane's Prince Albert are all species of what?
I'm locked in.
All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, what are you thinking?
I got nothing.
Well, whelps, I think the word whelp means babies. Like a whelp is a baby something or another. So
So it's a kind of food, though.
Yeah, and I imagine
it'd be some sort of plant food.
Plant food?
Like not like food that you feed a plant, but like food that's made of a plant.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Because he's saying species.
I didn't go that route. I was thinking some kind of a seafood or something. For some reason, I seem to think it was in like Finding Nemo or something like that. But
that could be it.
But I don't know. It's a food.
It's a food. It could be something like a seafood. I just, for some reason, I thought plant.
Crab was one of something. Crab was in there.
Whistly crab.
Whistly crab.
I think it's the lace one, the last one that's throwing me off. Do you want to try seafood?
It's good, but we'd have to have something specific.
Something specific,
like a shrimp or a.
I got nothing.
they're all types of something.
Species
of
what?
Shrimp.
Okay, so your answer is shrimp.
Shrimp.
All right.
I said my answer was oysters. I remember Prince Albert in a can being an oyster brand.
When you said Prince Albert, that grabbed me for the same reason. There's an old joke about, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Oh, yes, you better let him out. So I couldn't remember what that was, though. For me, it came down to what kind of seafood do they put in a can. So I had a choice between tuna and sardines. I didn't know anything about oysters. I said sardines.
All right. The correct answer is apples.
What?
So I was right with plant.
What?
What were they again?
May Queen, Whistly Crab, so crab apple.
Crab apples.
Oh, crab apples.
Prince Albert.
Wow.
I
had no idea.
We were nowhere close. Good question.
You were closest.
Apples. There's so many apples.
There really are.
I was trying to think. The crab one was throwing me off, too. I was trying to think what kind of sardine would be called a crab sardine. This doesn't
all
fit.
I forgot all about crab apples.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Wow.
Nice question, Ben. Ben gets 10 points for that one.
All right. So the last category in the round is we're going to call it musical before and after.
Ooh.
So the way that this works is you're combining the titles from two songs. So as an example, if you were writing a story about someone singing from jail in a heavy metal fashion, the song would be Jailhouse Rock of Ages.
Okay.
So you're combining the titles from two songs.
Okay.
Right? Everybody understand the gist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is it called?
Portmanteau.
Portmanteau, yeah.
Only if it's one word, though.
Oh, okay.
So we'll call it before and after.
Yep. That's what they call in the Wheel of Fortune. So thank you, Pat Sajak. All right.
I love this category concept, by the way. Good job.
No problem. All right. Recording artists Mark Morrison and Louis Armstrong collaborate to tell the story of a man who, brokenhearted by his lover, leaves town only to return and perform mafia-style hits on all of his enemies. All right, I'll say it again.
Huh?
Recording artists Mark Morrison and Louis Armstrong collaborate to tell the story of a man who is brokenhearted by his lover, leaves town only to return and perform mafia-style hits on all of his enemies.
I'm hosed. I don't know who Mark Morrison is. I never heard of the guy. So I am hosed here. I only know two Louis Armstrong songs, and it ain't one of these. And like I said, I don't know who Mark Morrison is. I know Jim Morrison is.
I know who Van Morrison is.
There's no relation, trust me. There's no relation.
Wow. That's all I could say is, wow.
What do you think, Joey?
Whoa.
Yeah, I really want to help you guys out by having an answer down, but
I have a rule against not having an answer, but I am just going to struggle here.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know.
I can't think of
who Mark Morrison is.
I can't either.
I just wrote down the worst answer ever.
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm locked in.
All right, I'm locked in too, but it's not it.
Mark Morrison must be like a jazz or a blues guy.
I don't think he is actually.
10 points.
Really?
Another 10 points for
Ben. Because they write a lot of jazz songs about mafia style hits.
Mm.
So like swing? Big band?
I have absolutely nothing.
The only song that I know other Louis Armstrong songs, but I can only think of his version of La Vie en Rose right now.
I know What a Wonderful World, but that's got nothing to do with whacking.
Wow. Whoa. This is a family podcast here, Mark.
Like mafia-style like, hits.
He got whacked.
Puts the lotion on the skin.
I have nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. I got nothing.
Blank.
All right. I said, what a wonderful world, be free.
Nice. Wow. That's funny, though. Wow. That's funny. No, I figured, I thought it was What a Wonderful World also, but I could not figure out the second song to save my life. I was trying to go, what song starts with world? And world beaters, world treaters, and just, I had nothing. So I just wrote, A Wonderful World, but I know that's nothing.
All right. So
who's Mark Morrison, dude?
Mark Morrison was a one hit wonder from the 90s.
Oh.
And you would immediately recognize the song as soon as I started singing it.
Return of the Mac, there it is. Return of... Y'all haven't heard
this? No.
Return of the Mac?
This is some black thing, isn't it?
I've heard of Mac the Knife.
No.
So what the answer is Return of the Mac the Knife. Louis Armstrong was the first to record Mac the Knife.
No kidding. I did not realize that.
See, I told you I knew other Louis Armstrong songs.
He definitely wasn't the first Mac the Knife. Mac the Knife came from a musical.
That's like
what I understand.
Kind of but seriously, Mac the Knife came from... He did Mac the Knife, I'm certain.
Oh,
he
yes.
He wasn't the first.
Okay, so my source is incorrect where I read that.
I will say this right now. Second round, Ben with 20. The rest of us with zero. Yeah.
What was the name? What was Mark Morrison's song?
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, I've not heard this song.
Nah, man.
It was one hit wonder in 96.
The Mac, get daddy.
Was it like a hit, or was it like...
It was a huge hit.
Was it really?
Yes. Huge hit.
Man, I have all never right. heard
look,
of that.
Guys, look in the show notes to find the song Return of the Mac.
If it's not on YouTube, it didn't happen.
It's, yes. It's definitely on YouTube.
If it's not in the show notes, that means YouTube. that song is just in Ben's head.
It's a huge... I'm telling you, it's a big hit.
It's the Ben Young theme song.
All right. Let's just go to the next round.
Last question in the second round, please.
So the last question in the round is in sports.
Sports!
What sport features stones, sheets, pebbles, and houses?
Holy crap.
I'll read it.
I used to be smart.
Ben, 30. The rest of us, 0. Yeah.
All right. We're locked in.
What? No!
All right.
Used to have trivia host.
Here. Repeat the question, please,
that's what
Ben.
I was thinking.
What sport features stones, sheets, pebbles, and houses?
All right, I'm locked in. Basically, I had two options. I didn't like either of them, so I went with the first thought.
It's like an election.
I'm so far away
for
from
reals.
A good... Yeah, this is like the election. I'm so far away from a good answer, it's pathetic. Just like the election.
Well played, sir.
Stones, sheets, pebbles, and houses. When you said stones, immediately I thought the answer was going to be curling. Because there's a stone. I think they call it a stone. So I thought, this is going to be curling. Then you said sheets. And I was like, maybe it's a sheet of ice. Cool. You
said sheet.
Then you said pebbles. And I'm like, I am screwed. There are no pebbles in curling. There are brooms. And I haven't thought of another answer since then. That's literally, I haven't come up with a single sport where I can think there's a pebble. Or a house. A house. The heck, Ben?
There are many sports with houses in them.
I don't think it's highlight. I don't think it's lacrosse. I don't think it's water polo. I don't think it's polo. I don't think it's cricket. I don't think it's rounders.
Now you're just making
maybe it's up. Rounders.
Like the poker movie?
Dang, heck is rounders.
Is that like the original version of baseball?
Yeah, it's the English original. So cricket, I think, came first, and then rounders came next, and then baseball came after that.
Oh, interesting.
Badminton, tennis, ping pong.
He's literally naming all of them, folks, which is kind of impressive.
I'm going to say rounders.
All right.
All right. Honestly, if I thought of curling, I would have wrote curling down and been done with it because I think that's 100% right. But I've been wrong. I had between rugby and cricket, and I decided on cricket.
Okay. So we have rounders and cricket.
We went with?
Curling.
Curling.
Correct answer is curling.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
so the stones are what they throw.
I'll throw a stone. I'll be the first to throw a stone, let me tell you.
Dude, I'm about to pass a stone.
So the sheet is the sheet of ice. The house is the target.
What's the pebble?
The pebbles are the pebbles of water that they use on the brooms to slow it down. That's where it comes
Pails?
From. Pebbles.
They call it a pebble of
pebbles
water?
Pebbles of water on the end of the broomsticks is what they use to angle the stone.
Man, a part of me is mad at myself. But a part of me is mad at you.
Why are you mad at me?
I don't know, but it's there.
Hey, Ben, I ain't mad at you.
This
nice job,
kind of
too.
A shoot the messenger kind of thing for him.
Oh, for real. Gosh, I'm mad.
We had that right away. We didn't have to name like 50 different sports to still miss it.
And the funny part is that's the first one he said. Yeah. All right, so after two rounds, we are all tied up at 30.
Three-way tie. All right, round three. Your first category is... Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes?
Nice.
All right. What is a water moccasin often called due to the white inside its mouth?
Oh, 3, 2, 1. Because you're writing.
Sure.
Ben, count it down for us.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Cotton mouth.
It's cotton mouth.
Shouldn't he use the word mouth in the clue that really leads right to it?
Well, I know what a water moccasin's called. So.
Yeah, me too.
Inside of its orifice.
Its face hole.
Just rewrite it differently.
Its face hole.
It's pie hole.
Cavity. Pie hole. Like pie hole.
My
true. All right. Or if it's a snake, it's probably a mouse hole, right? Instead of a pie hole. Yeah. All right. Round two is phobias.
Oh, great. From snakes to phobias. Interesting.
Yep. If you suffer from oneirophobia, what are you afraid of?
Spell that, please.
One eye?
Cyclops.
Are you afraid of being blinded? O-N-E-I-R-O phobia.
One more time, please.
O-N-E-I-R-O phobia.
I feel like our game has gotten harder this weekend.
True story. Say, Carmella, can you ask the questions
again? There are two acceptable answers.
You said there are two acceptable answers?
Yes.
Usually when I get a question about phobias, I try and break down the prefix. The prefix is the key to a phobia question. I don't even know where to break this down at.
Especially when you don't know what the prefix is in the first place.
Exactly. It's like, I have literally no clue.
What an oneiro is?
Exactly, yes.
Oneiro.
All right, I'm locked in on a very bad answer. I'm saying that a lot these last couple days.
All right, I wrote an answer down.
Okay, you want to talk this one out? What are you thinking?
So, I was looking at the word ones. I was like, are they afraid of being alone? And then I looked at the Nero part, mm-hmm. and it looks a lot like Nero, which is black in Italian. So, I was like, are they afraid of the color black?
So wait, Nero, like N-E-I-R-O is black?
N-E-R-O is black. So wondering if maybe it's the more Latinized version of that word. But that's coming out of like almost nowhere.
See, and I was looking at Iro, I-R-O, as in like chiropractors, like maybe fear of like skeletons or bones, like that kind of a field.
It'd be really bad if I was afraid of my chiropractor.
No, but like skeletons and that kind of thing. Yeah. But I don't know where the O-N would come from, or the O-N-E. I don't know.
I feel better hearing your conversation because I had some of the same conversations in my own head.
Okay.
So at least logically, I was in the right ballpark with what we could guess. So at the very least,
we can make Jonathan feel better about himself.
And that's really what this show is all about.
This really is all about Jonathan. I think it's going to be something weird, obviously. Like what? No, like something weird, like I'm afraid of the color black or something along those lines.
Okay. You want to go with that?
What are you trying to say, Carmella?
Racist.
I'm pretty sure the Public Enemy dedicated an entire album to what she just said.
I got nothing. You want to go with that? The color black?
Okay.
Okay, so they'd be afraid of this table.
Okay.
So fear of the color black is your answer?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Jonathan?
I had literally nothing worthwhile. I said fear of everything.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting. Okay. I said the fear of being alone.
Okay. So if I told you that everyone on Nightmare on Elm Street had this fear, would that help you?
Oh.
Their answer is two answers are either the fear of dreams or the fear of falling asleep.
Wow.
Those two answers would be acceptable.
I didn't have any way to get to it, though. There is no clues in there for us.
Yeah,
man.
Apparently that root is actually the Latin word for dreams, the one narrow or whatever.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
I'm whimpering now going into the final question of the third round.
All right, so your final question before the midpoint is TV. In The Simpsons, what is the name of the main beer served in Springfield?
3, 2, 1. All right, yeah. Ben, count it down.
3, 2, 1.
Duff.
Duff is correct.
Does anybody else know where they got the name from?
Sitting on your Duff?
No.
It's not from Guns N' Roses, is it?
It is.
Is it really? Duff McKagan?
Duff McKagan was the bassist for Guns N' Roses, and he used to have the nickname the King of Beers. And the guys who were making The Simpsons were Guns N' Roses fans, and said they were like, well, hey, if we call it Duff, then that's like the King of Beers. Let's go for it.
That's Duff awesome. Man. That's really funny.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
By the way, if you have a chance to read his autobiography, it is a really, really good book. I would highly recommend his autobiography.
Awesome. So going into the midpoint, all 50s, 50, 50, 50.
Are you serious? So
50 for Chris, 50 for Jonathan, and 50 for Team Chiropractic.
Did we all get the exact same ones right? No, we didn't, because they got cricket. Or they got
curling.
Curling. That would have been funny, because it would have been like, yeah, Ben, some of your questions are answerable, and some of them are not, and there's no middle ground.
All right, so your midpoint question is going to be NBA records.
This is fantastic.
You know, I would throw an NBA question in there. The Golden State Warriors are chasing the record for the most games won in a regular season held by the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls?
I knew that. Why couldn't that be the question?
Name four of the five primary starters from that Bulls team.
Ooh.
From the 94-95?
From the 95-96 Chicago
95-96. Bulls. 95-96. That's tough because there are multiple Bulls runs with different players on each.
That's correct. So four of the five primary starters.
Any bonus for getting all five?
I'll give you 400 cool points.
I'll take those, actually.
And then you'll have 400 cool points.
And it was... Because you never earned one before that.
Chris, I'm going to bust out the aloe vera because you just got burned.
So, primary starters. Yes. Not a bench guy. Not a guy who came in and played a lot.
These are the five who started the most.
All I'm saying is Carmelo's running a lot of smack for probably not answering one of the questions, one of the answers on
no,
this.
No, I've written one down.
Okay.
You've written one down.
The only reason I haven't locked in yet is I've got like six names swirling, and I'm confident in three of them. No, but I don't remember which ones came off the bench and which ones started.
Okay.
That's where I'm struggling.
I'm gotcha. Locked in with my four. I'm trying to think of the fifth one right now.
Okay.
All right, I'm locked in.
I guess I know the names of a lot, quite a few 90s players, but I can't remember what teams they played for. So,
oh, this should be fun.
Yeah. Plus, we don't know how good Mark is in sports.
So. Yeah, basketball is my weak link. I grew up in Pittsburgh. We didn't have NBA. We still don't have NBA.
Shoot, you barely
so that's
got
my weak link.
You're football and baseball.
In the, everything but.
In the 90s, they barely had baseball.
Oh.
True story.
In the 80s, in the early 2000s.
Orlando Merced.
25 years worth.
Jeff King.
Yeah.
So the other two names I like put question marks down for them is I don't remember who Charles Barkley played for, and I don't remember who Ewing played for. I think, did Ewing play for the Knicks?
Yes.
Okay, so I know it's not him.
Mm-mm. And Barkley played for like the Lakers. This is fun for you guys
it's
to
hilarious.
Listen to, is it? Well, I mean, obviously, I think we should go with Jordan.
Right.
Okay. Then we had it down to like Pippen. We're going to go with Scott. I mean, there's that whole Detroit Pistons kind of a thing.
Yeah, but I was like, did Pippen play for the Bulls?
Because we have a lack of names, so we're probably going to throw some out there that are clearly not right.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we going to go with Pippen?
Sure.
How about Dennis Rodman?
I thought Dennis Rodman was Lakers.
He went a couple of places. I know he either played for the Pistons or for the Bulls.
Well, let's go ahead and put him in. He might have played for the Bulls for
all right,
a while.
Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. You have any other names on there?
Oh, man, I had to search down to find Ewing.
Because I've got two white guys. Because there's usually one.
Well, it's not Larry Bird. I know that.
No. Anybody else on your list?
No, I've told you.
I don't want to go with Mullen.
Chris Mullen
and Weber.
Oh, you're naming five? You only got to name four.
Oh, only four? Okay, yeah. We're taking Weber out then. Chris Mullen.
Yeah, Weber's black, by the way.
Oh, so okay, never mind.
All right.
This is so hilarious. All right,
Jonathan, never, I know, this is like,
Jonathan,
this is horrible.
All right, so your answers are?
Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and Mullen.
And Mullen, okay. Yeah.
I watched basketball back then, right? And my struggle was figuring out who the starters were. You guys got three. Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman are all right.
Okay.
I was fighting myself between Tony Kukoc, Steve Kerr, and Luke Longley. Kukoc, I'm pretty sure he had come in at that point. And so I was trying to figure out positions, right? And none of those guys, except for Kerr, are really point guards. Jordan was a shooting guard. Pippen was a small forward. And Rodman was a power forward. So I was looking either for a point guard or a center, which meant I was going to say Kukoc must have come on the bench. So I got it down to Kerr and Longley. Longley was the big white dude, center guy who literally had no offensive skill and was there for rebounds and blocks and on defense. Kerr felt like they always rotated guys in for 3-point shooting. They used to do it with Paxson. They used to do it with Gil Hodges for a while. So I said Kerr was off the bench. I went with Longley. So I said Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and Longley.
Nice.
All right.
Okay. I went with the three that they went with, Jordan, Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. And then kind of I went with Jonathan on that. And I could not remember. I was trying to think of the center. And Bill Cartwright, who was on the first set of the Bulls championships, kept popping in my head. And I was like, dude, get out of here. And couldn't get rid of him. But I didn't write him down. Luke Longley was the guy I was probably more than likely thinking of. I thought of Steve Kerr, but he came off the bench. My answer was Tony Kukoc.
So your answers are Jordan, Pippen,
Rodman, and then Tony Kukoc.
Okay. So I can tell you that Michael Jordan was the shooting guard. Scottie Pippen played small forward. Dennis Rodman played power forward. The center was Luke Longley.
So yes!
That's your white guy. He's Australian, actually.
Yeah, okay.
And then your point guard was Ron Harper.
Oh, really? Right. I'm the only one who got all four.
Really?
Yep.
I don't remember Harper.
That much ground on it.
No, he didn't.
I don't remember Ron Harper at all. Are you that wasn't the first set?
This was the second set. B.J. Armstrong was a point guard in the first
set. It was B.J. Paxson. MJ.
Paxson rotated in.
Did he rotate?
Yeah. Steve Kerr, you were right on. They'll rotate Steve Kerr. Actually, Steve Kerr played the fourth quarter a lot when they needed 3 points.
Yeah.
Right.
Horace Grant and Cartwright were the big men on the first set.
Yeah, on the first
Grant
set.
Was playing in Orlando at second set.
And Tony Kukoc, they were rotating in a lot. Sometimes they would do a small unit and Rodman would play center. Actually, Rodman and Shaq had some pretty famous scuffles.
Wow.
People were surprised at how well Rodman could defend Shaq, even though he had a huge weight disadvantage.
He's like kneeing him in his nuts because they're hanging by his knees.
Well, he's ridiculously strong for being so small.
Yeah.
All right. Well, after the midpoint, Jonathan has taken the lead. He has 70 points. Carmella and Mark, Team Awesome Part 2, The Revenge, has 65. And Chris has 65 also.
Oof.
Okay, so before we jump into the fourth round, I want to talk a little bit about Loot Crate, who's sponsoring the show this week. So we've been sharing a lot of cool stuff about Loot Crate, but one thing that we haven't talked much about is just how many choices you have in terms of what crates there are out there. Did you know that on top of the normal subscription box, there is a Loot Crate DX box, which is basically saying, hey, you can go big, and instead of doing a $20 subscription, you could do a $50 subscription. The $50 subscription delivers over $100 worth of value every month. Same cool stuff, just more of it in a single box. So there's the DX box, right?
Well, Jonathan, one of the things I'm excited about is I just got the email confirmation that next week, the first ever Firefly Loot Crate box is coming in for me. Very excited about this. They actually, as a charter member of the Firefly Loot Crate, I got a nice little pin in the mail as a thank you and what have you from Loot Crate a couple of weeks ago. They always do cool stuff like that. It's a $25 box, and I'm expecting some really neat stuff. Hopefully a really cool shirt in there for sure.
So there's a Firefly box. There's the DX box. There is also the Loot Gaming box for people who consider themselves epic gamers. And there's an anime box. But the one that you guys might not know about is the Loot Pet box. That's right. You can get cool gear for your pets. Whether it's, some people like to put little sweaters on their dogs and whatnot.
I'm just trying to think about how my cat, who's named after a video game character, would feel about me putting stuff on her.
What's your cat's name?
Morgan.
Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan might like a Batman water dish or something like that.
That'd be cool.
You never know what kind of stuff you're going to get in a loot box. So when you go to lootcrate.com/TWA, you'll get a chance to pick a crate and you'll get a bunch of different choices like the ones I just named. So it's not just one box. Be sure to check out what your options are. And when you order, make sure you use the coupon code TWA to get 15% off of your first month's box. Okay, let's jump back into round four.
All right. So round four, your first question is in the category of history.
History.
Who was the legendary Benedictine monk who invented champagne?
Don't give me a side eye look over here, Mark.
Wow.
Silence.
I was just looking to see if anybody else was writing already.
Silence grips the room.
We're going to need a little time on this one.
Like I said, the part of Mr. T is being played by Ben this week.
He brought the pain.
Pain. I'm locked in.
Okay. So Carmella has something there.
I wrote down Francis of Assisi, but I'm not sure because I'm pretty sure he's Italian, and you were thinking along the lines of somebody French.
Something French. So I was trying to think of a French region that perhaps is named after.
Champagne?
Well, yeah. No. Although I believe there is a region in France, but I'm not positive. But Benedictine monks, were they French? But what's the origin of Benedictine? I mean, is that a...
They're followers of Saint Benedict.
Which is what nationality?
No idea.
I say we go with yours.
You're going to go with mine?
Yeah.
Francis of Assisi?
All right. My answer is I went with a little old school St. Augustine trivia, and I went with the San Sebastian Winery, which is down there, and I said Sebastian.
All right.
I don't know. So
I've never heard of that monk before.
I just try to think of wine brands. Not wine brands, champagne brands. And the only one I could think of was Korbel. I was like, Brut? No, it's not going to be Brut.
Isn't that a...
Is it?
Cologne?
By Fabergé.
Well, Brut? God, I hope Brut is a kind of champagne, too.
It burns, man!
I can only think of it as an aftershave.
it's a type of grape. It's a type of wine.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a couple of more that I thought about Francis, actually, but I didn't think he was Benedictine.
I don't know if
actually his followers became Franciscan monks. They took his name. Yeah. So I said Korbel.
All right. So the correct answer is Dom Perignon.
Oh, goodness.
That's what I couldn't think of. That's what I couldn't think of.
Okay. Once again, 10 points
that's
for
like,
Ben.
That's you like guys the were good close. Champagne.
Well, he was legendary and still is, apparently.
Just for what it's
my
worth,
answer was Cristal first.
I'd just like to say, now that we know the answer, excellent question.
Really yeah, nice. That's a great question.
That is
question.
Our fault for not coming up with the thanks. Answer. Excellent question.
Are you saying I award you no points and may God have mercy on your
some
soul.
Of those were your fault. Some of those are yours. That was ours.
Well done, man.
That's funny. All right. Round four, your second question is in movies.
Movies.
In which film did Humphrey Bogart say, "We'll always have Paris"?
Locked in.
I'm locked in.
Well, what were you thinking?
I was thinking it was The Maltese Falcon. But I don't know my Bogart movies. And you were awful quick to write down yours.
I wrote Casablanca.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe because
that's where
Bogart
he says that he's looking
answer.
At you, kid, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I would be inclined to go with yours.
All right. Let's say it, Casablanca.
I wrote Casablanca as well.
On the other hand, I wrote Casablanca.
The correct answer is Casablanca.
All right. All
he's going to say the Maltese Falcon. I'm be like, no.
Your last question of the round is in geography.
Geography.
All right. So I just gave you a question about Casablanca, which is on the African continent. In terms of land area, what is the largest country in Africa? It may help if you draw a map of Africa.
Or you could sing the Toto song, Africa, as well.
Yeah, that may also help.
I'm locking in. I'm not thrilled about it. There's three or four.
Like five things I'm jamming around.
Three or four for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one. I got two.
Well, there's only 50-some countries, so you got a 1 in 50 chance.
All right, I'm locked in too, so go ahead and talk about it, guys.
All right, so you want to know the ones that are rolling around?
Yeah, let me hear it.
So I've got Libya, Sudan, Egypt, South Africa, and I'm going back and forth on Madagascar because I'm pretty sure Madagascar is part of Africa.
It is, but it's not one of the largest.
Okay.
I can tell you that. And I don't think South Africa is either.
Well, I know.
And South the Africa. Animals don't actually talk.
Oh, what? No, you mean Chris Rock's not a zebra?
I was so pissed when I got there. And the animals are just like normal animals.
Mind blown.
So you said Sudan.
Sudan, yeah.
Which country is in the northeast corner that broke up a couple of years ago, like maybe 5-10 years ago, and it's no longer the largest?
Well, in the northeast corner is Egypt. I know Egypt and Sudan are there.
I mean northwest, my
northwest.
Bad.
Is Libya in the northwest?
No, that's in northeast.
Okay.
See, I'm thinking, for some reason I had stuck in my head Algeria. Where's that?
I think Algeria is in the northwest.
Is it?
Don't quote me on that, though. My Africa... I know where Egypt is, and I know where South Africa is.
I wrote it down. I'm quoting you.
And I know where the Congo is. It's somewhere in the middle.
Because something used to be the largest, and then it broke into two pieces. And it's no longer the largest.
So that wouldn't be the answer.
I don't know. No. Not anymore. What are the other ones you said? Madagascar, South Africa?
Sudan, Egypt, and Libya.
I want to say Sudan might have broken up.
That sounds right.
I could be off on that, but I think it might have... I think it's Algeria. I don't know why.
You want to go with Algeria?
Yeah.
Okay, because that way if we're wrong, we can blame you.
Yeah, totally. Okay, nice. We're going to say Algeria.
Real
Algeria.
Nice.
Okay.
All right, I was going back. I mean, at first South Africa was in my head, and I was just like, I know that's not the right answer, because I believe I've had this question before and answered South Africa and been wrong. My only problem is remembering what the actual answer is, and that didn't come to me either.
So, and now that I've told you that story, let me tell you this story.
I wrote down Tanzania.
Okay.
So Sudan is the one that was the largest and broke up.
I don't know.
No, it is.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Who did they
break up with? So there was a reason
with?
I thought
became,
of Sudan.
They became South Sudan is now a country.
Yeah. They've been embroiled in civil war for decades.
Sudan was the first one I thought of. It came down to two for me primarily, and my two were Algeria and the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Okay.
And I know Algeria is big. It is in the northwest. It's over there near Morocco and near it's to the left of Libya, I think. I went with the DRC. I went with Democratic Republic of the Congo.
All right.
But I would not be surprised if it was Algeria.
So your correct answer is Algeria.
Yay!
Congo is a very close second.
Is it?
They're almost identical in size. Algeria, I think, is like the difference is like 20,000 or 30,000 square miles.
You beat me by 20,000 square miles, dude. I hope you're happy.
That's pretty big.
Size counts.
Size matters not.
I wonder how they use it. That's all I'm asking.
True.
All right, guys. Wow. So after four very tough rounds, Team Awesome Part 3 in 3D is up 75 to Jonathan 70 to my lowly 65.
How many points do I have, Chris?
Like 40.
Yeah, easy 40, if not more.
All right. So round 5, your first question is in the Bible. Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, had 12 sons. From which of his sons was the bloodline of Christ established? Does everybody understand the question?
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to pass on this one. What's the next question? We're going to throw this one.
You have a 1 in 12 chance.
Not really.
Assuming you know all 12 names.
I'm really bad at Old Testament questions.
Really?
Yeah. It's not something I'm great at by any stretch.
This is one that I should get, and I'm not feeling good about it, and I'm upset.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Man, if you wanted to pick a weak category for me.
You need to get out some of them shades and go to church.
I'm locked in, everybody.
You want to go with that?
Sure.
All right, we'll lock in. Jonathan, you can talk.
I want to talk.
Too bad. You love talking.
I'm so frustrated that this isn't coming to me immediately. I'm really upset. So the story is that the brothers threw this kid down a well because he had the multicolored coat, which meant his dad loved him more. And he ended up getting taken to Egypt and ended up becoming the prime minister of Egypt. And then all his brothers came during a starvation kind of drought and whatnot, and he ended up saving the family. The youngest son was Benjamin, and I don't think it's Benjamin. I'm pretty sure it's this guy. And Joshua is the name that I'm coming up with, and I just don't think it's Joshua. Joshua was the leader after Moses. He has his own book. It's not Joshua. But I can't think of this guy's name, and it's driving me nuts.
So I know the name that you're thinking of, and that's...
Now that I've said it, you're pissed off because you're like, I know that story.
Yeah.
It's not David. David's of his line, though. It's not Daniel. It's not Jeremiah. It's not Asher. It's not Reuben. It's not Levi.
Headley.
Not Headley. This guy, he interpreted dreams, and he was a slave in Egypt, and his master's wife accused him of trying to rape her because he wouldn't sleep with her when she tried to seduce him. I know his whole freaking story.
Bill Cosby?
Oh, too soon.
I'm so disappointed at that.
Charles Barkley, what'd you think of that, Joe?
That was terrible.
It was terrible.
35, 45, 55.
It's not Jason. I feel like it's a J name. I'm sorry I'm taking so long. I know it's in there.
I'm trying to scream it at you, like telepathically.
I have no telepathic skills.
He is male, after all.
Somebody in his Technicolor coat. Same story, same name. It's going to be the same guy. Who is that? The Technicolor Dreamcoat. Who's the guy with the freaking Technicolor Dreamcoat? Who is this person?
Do you know who he's talking about?
I know that name.
Yeah.
I almost blurted it a minute ago.
Oh, my God. It's the same guy.
See, now you see why I'm angry.
I just had a name come to me. It's a J name. I'm going to go with it. I don't think it's right. I'm going with Joseph.
All right. So, Joseph.
What was y'all's answer?
Well, Joseph did have a multicolor coat, but we said Ishmael.
It was Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat. So, Jonathan, if you're right, that means I'm right also. The answer is Joseph.
All right. So, the correct answer is Judah.
Oh.
Judah. Judah was a lot of
Holy
tribe.
Crap. He's a Lion of Judah.
Yep. Judah is actually where the term Jews come from, because Judah was the largest tribe
in Israel. That makes sense.
Interesting.
He had his own country.
Judea?
No, Judah.
which was Judea.
Judea.
All right, can you get over this? Because he needs to ask another question, and you're kind of pouting.
It's okay. Nobody got it right, Jonathan, if that's any consolation.
But you had Joseph's story down cold, man. I was
it's
rooting
not
for
the
it.
Right guy.
But you, at least you got it. At least you got the
Joseph.
Guy to the story.
It's like, I think it's Judah. And then he would have been right and you had the wrong story completely.
I think it would have made you even angrier. Probably not.
No,
that does make me angrier. It's like I finally got the name I was looking for and was wrong because I was in the totally wrong track.
Yeah,
because
for some reason I had Jesse in my head, and Jesse was the father of David. And so
I will applaud you for naming like half of the sons, though.
No kidding. Like half respect for that. Respect gets you 0 points in that question, but respect. All right, Ben, what's the second question?
All right, so we're going to move from the Bible to gospel music. All right. Marvin, Carvin, BB, Angie, and Coconut are all members of what legendary gospel family? Marvin, Carvin, BB, Angie, and Coconut are all members of what legendary gospel family?
I hate you.
Locked in.
I hate you so much.
Why do you hate me so much?
I'm putting Ben on hiatus after this episode.
I've been on hiatus for months already. You put me back in the closet, back in the drawer.
Jonathan, do you need a cookie? All right.
Oh, that's I meant to get a cookie. I'm getting a cookie.
I would love a cookie. A cookie sounds awesome.
You know this?
I don't.
Do you have any clue?
No. Do you?
I think I do, but I'm off slightly.
Jonathan, did you write something down? Did the cookies help that much?
I'm trying to choose between two.
We're all locked in.
Talk it out. Yes. Right. Oh, you're
then,
locked in
then
too?
Then you go first and I'll talk.
We're not locked in? All right. We'll talk.
No, are you locked in or not?
Yeah, we got it written down.
Are you going to stick with it?
Well, because if not, Jonathan wants to talk
I believe
it
that's,
over.
Okay, Jonathan can talk it over if he wants. Yeah, we're locked.
Okay, so I don't have a lot of knowledge of gospel music. I came up with two names. I feel like the Winans are a gospel family. And if you'd have said CC, I'd have said Winans. But I didn't hear you say CC. I'm just throwing a Hail Mary pass, right? The first name you said was Marvin. Marvin Gaye is huge. He's African American. A lot of African American singers, especially from the old days, got their start in gospel and then moved into R&B and stuff. And so he might be the one that moved into the mainstream while the rest of his family stayed in the gospel singing thing. And I know his daddy murdered him. It could be some religious thing because he was mainstream and daddy didn't approve or something. I'm just totally making up this history right now. But that was my thought process. So I'm going to say it was the Gay family.
All right. All right, you guys.
Well, originally, I couldn't figure out. I mean, I knew the BB part. I'm thinking the CC was left, or one of the BBs or the CCs were left off intentionally. I think the other one was a layup out there for us. I couldn't think of the name, so we put the Wayans down at first. And I knew it wasn't that
one,
obviously.
That's the wrong family.
So after some fine retooling, we wound up going with the Winans.
Yep, and I wrote the Winans as well. BB and CC Winans.
Correct answer is the Winans.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvin Winans is the oldest of the children. He was the lead singer from the Winans group when it was the four brothers. And Carvin is his twin brother.
Who the heck is Coconut?
Was Coconut called CeCe?
Coconut is Oh. He's the next generation. So oh. he's one of them.
I think oh, it's Carvin, a Coconut's Carvin's a he?
Son. No, Marvin's son. Yeah. That's his nickname.
I thought Coconut. Oh, okay.
He's Marvin Winans Jr., but he goes by Coconut.
Okay. I thought Coconut would be a female for some reason. I'm not trying to be sexist, but I've really thought it would be a female name. Man.
And CeCe's probably the most famous Winans individual.
If you just said CeCe, I would have said Winans.
Yeah. That's why I left her off. All right. So your last question in the round is in science.
Science!
Science.
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 Oh, come on.
I had water in my mouth. I was taking a drink. You want to get it all over the mic?
What was that?
Okay. Terrible.
Albert Einstein is famous for penning the equation E equals mc squared as part of his theory of relativity. What does the C represent?
E equals mc hammer.
Oh.
Typewriter in my chair.
We're locked in.
I figured that.
I'm locked in.
I figured that too. So then it comes down to the science neophyte over here.
Wow. Where'd you learn the word neophyte?
I've always known the word neophyte. Just haven't really used it all. There's words I know that I just don't use that often.
It could be worse. You could have said troglodyte.
I was just making jokes about troglodyte in my head. It's like, how did this troglodyte learn the word neophyte?
Wow. All right. So E equals MC square. I'm not going to spend too much time on this just because I really don't know the answer, but I'm trying to figure out like something that might sound reasonable to him. The theory of relativity. It's just very frustrating because I was starting to gain a little momentum and now it's just getting knocked backwards. So
you could have missed the Winans when everybody else got it right. How do you feel about that?
He's not bitter at all, by the way.
All right. My C for the question will be combustion. Final answer.
Combustion. All right.
I thought M was mass. I'm pretty sure C is the speed of light. So I said speed of light.
All right.
C is the designation for speed of light.
Correct answer, speed of light. Wow. All right, we'll do a score check.
Team Awesome Electric Boogaloo is up 85. Jonathan has 80, and I have 75. So fairly tight game.
Man,
so
we're
far.
Still like 10 points away from each other.
Yep.
Your round six question, first category, is history.
History.
What city served as the hub for Andrew Carnegie's iron and steel industries?
Locked in.
We'll lock in.
Okay.
So Carnegie, I match up Carnegie with New York a lot, but it didn't feel right. And a piece of game theory for me is usually if you're asking for a city, New York City shouldn't be the right answer to a trivia question because it's the first one anybody thinks of.
Game theory.
Pittsburgh is the city that's coming to my head. I know coal mining and that kind of stuff, but for some reason I'm thinking Pittsburgh, so I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
All right. I wrote Pittsburgh as well. I thought it was known as the Steel City. And then plus, also, Mark got excited as soon as he saw that answer up. And I was just like, that little Pittsburgh dude over there.
I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? Right.
Anyway, so Pittsburgh's my final answer.
All right.
Now, Carnegie Mellon University is in Pittsburgh. And that's where Carnegie mastered the Bessemer process to make cheaper steel. So that would be where I'm from also. Pittsburgh.
All right, correct answer is Pittsburgh.
Nice.
I was the furthest away, man. I almost got that wrong.
All right, second question.
All right, second question is in sports.
Sports.
Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw is quoted as saying, "I wouldn't have won a bunch of Super Bowl titles if he hadn't left college to hunt a bunch of ducks." What man is Terry Bradshaw referring to?
Read it again, please.
Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw is quoted as saying, "I wouldn't have won a bunch of Super Bowl titles if he hadn't left college to hunt a bunch of ducks." What man is Terry Bradshaw referring to?
What in the heck are we talking about?
I'm locked in.
What?
Yeah.
What does somebody leaving college have to do with Terry Bradshaw winning?
Mark looks
What are you doing, Mark? You're writing like a doofus. So let me big word picture. Mark is holding up his clipboard above his head and trying to write on it.
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
He's still holding it up there. It's like his arm's stuck.
All right, so you guys are locked in?
So there's clues in there that lead me down a path that don't feel right.
Man, that don't feel right.
Like a rectal exam?
That don't feel right. So I might be... it could be so wrong, but the clue, the ducks. So Louisiana Tech is where Bradshaw went to school. And famously, from the TV show Duck Dynasty, the patriarch of the clan, Phil Robertson, was also at school with Bradshaw. I thought Robertson was the backup quarterback to Bradshaw, but he definitely was a guy who left school to hunt a bunch of ducks. So maybe he was the starter and Bradshaw, maybe he left early and Bradshaw got a chance to show what he could do before he expected to. So I'm going with Phil Robertson, and I could be way off, but that's my answer.
All right.
I wrote Phil Robertson.
All right.
When we started talking, I originally wrote down the old man from Duck Dynasty. and then we went with Phil. And then we had Robinson for the last name. And then we had Roberts for the last name. So we sat here and tried to figure last name. We finally went with Phil Roberts.
Oh.
The correct answer is Phil Robertson. Phil Robertson. Phil Robertson was actually a superstar quarterback at La Tech.
And was he?
Yeah. I mean, Terry Bradshaw never saw the field while he was out there.
Really?
And he actually was an NFL prospect, but he didn't have the desire to play football. He wanted to hunt ducks. That was his passion.
Yeah. And so he left school. Yeah. And not only that, but he was a top NFL prospect. We're talking about first round and the whole bit. People were chomping at the bit for him.
So I knew about the hunting ducks. I watched the show for a while, so I know his story, but I didn't realize. I thought he was like the backup. I didn't know he was the guy.
No, he was the guy. Yeah, and Terry Bradshaw would never saw the field because of him. If he hadn't left college, I would have never had a chance to get on the field and show my stuff.
Wow.
Awesome.
Roberts. Oh.
As soon as you said Robertson, I was like, crap.
All right. The last question is in movies.
Crap.
Mr. Cat Poop was the Chinese translation of what Jack Nicholson movie?
Mr. Cat Poop.
I'm locked in.
There's only like 50 Jack Nicholson movies out there, so you got a 1 in 50
starting
chance.
To write all of them.
We're locked in.
Talk it out, buddy.
What is cat poop?
The thing that comes out of Rambo.
You have plenty of it in there, dude. You should know what it is.
Read it again.
Mr. Cat Poop was the Chinese translation of what Jack Nicholson movie?
It doesn't fit any Jack Nicholson movie I know. None. It's not Batman. It's not. I've never seen Chinatown, but I don't imagine there's a lot of cat poop in it. I've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I don't remember any cat poop in that one. I don't think there was cats in The Shining. You know what? So the one that I thought I was going to go with, but just didn't feel right at all, was As Good As It Gets. As Good As It Gets was a really good movie, and there were some pets in that, but I don't remember cats. It was Greg Kinnear, and it was Greg Kinnear's dog. I don't remember a cat. So it does not feel right. There's plenty of Nicholson movies I haven't seen, though. And one of them where he played a crazy-looking dude, thinking it might be something where he was playing some weird thing. I remember one where his hair was standing up in the pictures. It's called About Schmidt. I'm going to go with About Schmidt and just hope to God that Mr. Crazy Person in that movie had a bunch of cats and was dealing with that a lot. But there's, like, no logic behind that.
All right.
Chris?
Man, that's a really good answer. I forgot about Schmidt, but I went As Good As It Gets.
All right.
If that's right, then I just screwed myself again with curling.
We both were writing down movies, and the first one that we both wrote down was As Good As It Gets, so that's what we went with.
All right. Correct answer is As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
Was there a cat in As Good As It Gets?
No.
I remember there being a dog, but
there was no freaking cat.
But I remember his attitude was kind of crappy in that movie, so that's why I wrote down As Good As It Gets.
Man, them. That's bull crap. I'm so pissed off about it. There's no cats.
It's cat crap. It's not bull crap.
There's no cats. I am highly upset about that, man. Oh my God.
Going into the final final question, excuse me. I swept the last round for 105 points. Team Cool Pants over there has 105 points. And Jonathan, unfortunately, because you talked yourself out of it, you have 100 points.
Why would you name it that?
Well, why do you name half the stuff?
But usually it's literal translations.
Not necessarily.
No. Lots of times.
Lots of times, yes, but not all the time, man. I mean, it's,
I mean, literally, it's the only reason I thought of As Good As It Gets is because of the dude's attitude in the movie.
All right, so what's the category for the final question?
All right, your final category is, I was told there would be no math.
Crap.
That could be math. Anything.
Oh, my dad.
Does not require calculations, so I want to just throw that out there.
Oh.
I was told there would be no math.
By the way, this is one of the closest games we've ever had.
All right, I have my number written down.
Yeah, I wrote mine down too.
We've already got the answer.
Wow.
We're locked in.
Okay.
You have so the answer is telepathy.
You have it written down?
Yep. Yeah, we have it written down.
All right. So I'm going to give you four numbers.
Sweet. Put the numbers in order.
Which ones are prime?
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. The first one is pi. The second one is I squared. The third one is E, letter E. The fourth one is phi.
Five?
Phi, P-H-I.
P-H-I. Oh, okay.
Also known as the golden ratio.
And also,
put these in alphabetical order.
Personal.
I think we should put an order by value, isn't
so
it?
Pi, personal I health squared, information. Y'all got them, pi, I squared, E, and phi, which is a golden ratio. Put these numbers in order from largest to smallest.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Carmella's already got the answer. I'm just going to cry. All right. I'm locked in.
Math is a weakness. I don't know what I squared is. I don't know what E is. And I don't know what phi is. I know what pi is. What did you say phi was also known as? The golden ratio?
The golden ratio.
All right. I'm locked in. Let's get this over with.
Okay.
So where were we?
I mean, obviously, we know that pi is 3.14 and a bunch of change.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella, you were thinking that I is what?
I think I is negative 1. So
I squared would be 1. Mm-hmm. Negative times negative, okay. Phi, the golden ratio?
I think it's a fraction. I don't think it's a whole number.
Okay, so that would put it below the other ones. E.
I have no idea what E is. Like, not even a single idea. Well, E is the...
It equals MC squared. Come on, guys.
That's energy.
It equals MC hammer.
That's a biggie.
Come on.
Anyway.
Okay, so you want to go with... We were still thinking pi was the largest?
I still think pi might be the largest.
And we're going to go with phi as the smallest?
I would think... Well, it was a square root of I, right?
Right.
Or was it I squared. I squared. So that would be 1, and that, like I said, I think that the golden ratio is a fraction.
So where do you think E's going to fit in?
I think between pi and I.
Nothing comes between pi and I.
So you think it's going to be...
That's the kind of math I like.
Pi, then E, then I, and then phi.
That's all I got. I know what I is, and I know what pi is, but the other two I have no idea.
Okay.
All right.
So that means the E would be somewhere between 3.14 and 1.
Sounds good to me.
I'll go next. Did you get their answer?
Yeah, well, I didn't even know what your answer is. You just threw out a bunch of
stuff. You want largest to smallest. So we said pi, then E, then I, and then phi.
Phi.
Okay. So I have less information than they did. I should have caught on to ratio, though. Ratio typically does mean fraction. And I totally let that blow right past me, so I think I'm totally screwed. I said phi was first, I said pi was second, I said E was third, and I said I squared was fourth.
Phi, pi, E, I squared.
Yes.
Okay. As I said, complete math neophyte. I'm terrible at it, so no point. So I did I square, phi, E, and then pi is the last one.
All right. The largest of these four is pi, 3.14. The next largest is E, which is the base of the natural log, which is 2.718.
See, told you it was log.
I got a natural log for you.
No.
Next.
Is it more of a stick?
Logarithm.
No, I was talking about something in there.
Logarithm. The next, which is equal to the value of 1.618, is phi, which is the golden ratio.
Mm.
And smallest was I squared. I is actually the square root of negative 1. Mm. So I squared is negative 1.
Mm.
So in order, they are pi, E, phi, and I squared.
I actually had a negative 1 written next to I squared, by the way. I thought I knew that. So nobody got it right.
No.
Nobody got it right.
We flipped the last two.
Comes down to wagers. I'll go first because it's the least dramatic. I wagered 26.
Okay. All right.
I have no idea what that gives me.
74. Right.
What he said?
I had 100, so now I got 74.
Yep. Yep. What did you guys wager?
We bet 10.
We bet 10. Oh, Chris has got a little
95.
Little smile on his face because he probably bet zero.
Zero because I suck at math.
I told you to bet zero.
Woo! For the first time in my life, it's paid to suck at something.
You don't get paid when you suck normally?
Oh, man. First one's free. No one ever comes back.
Anyway. Hey. Wow. It's not what your mom said.
Wow.
So I'll take it, though.
Chris.
I will take it.
Chris, I didn't bet zero because I knew Chris wasn't betting. I had to get some points.
I said that you were going to bet six, and I had a feeling that Chris was going to bet zero. And I was hoping that he would have maybe got it right or wrong, but that we would have gotten it right and went past him.
See,
that was a tough question.
And that's honestly, that's exactly what I was hoping for. Is I was hoping you guys were going to cancel out each other, and then I would skate in for the win. And doggone it,
we
did it.
We were close, though. We were so close.
So I really want to thank all the listeners, because I'm sure this will be the last time that Jonathan ever let me host Trivia. So I want to thank everybody for the opportunity.
Get out. Oh, man.
All right,
that was
guys.
Good stuff, though. I'll take it.
Man, I got to be honest. I lost two in a row here. One to Carmella by herself earlier and one to Chris just now. And I don't like this feeling.
You can't fight this feeling anymore.
I do not like this at all. I just want to be clear about that. So, okay.
All right. Just to reiterate, Chris with 105, Team Awesome Pants with 95, and Jonathan with 74.
Chris is doing the winner's dance.
All I do is win.
He doesn't even know how the song goes.
No, he doesn't.
That's right. I don't.
That's why he was dead Alderaan last time.
Oh, see, that's doing it clean. Very nice.
All right. So remember, we're trying to get the push to get up to 50 reviews. We have a review by Amarasia. Amarasia says, a couple of weeks ago, I browsed iTunes looking for new quiz shows. I downloaded samples of a number of trivia quiz type shows. This is the only one I fell in love with. I am happily listening to every episode. It has made my commute much more fun.
Nice.
God, I love reviews, man.
I know, right?
I freaking love reviews. Thank you, Amarasia.
I go out there when I'm sad and read them, and they just help perk me up.
The last one here is by Lishi, L-S-H-I. I am fully addicted to Trivial Warfare. Jonathan and Chris's dynamics are hilarious and entertaining, as are the guest hosts and players. I love listening to this podcast, playing along, and challenging my own knowledge. I would highly recommend it. Thank you, Lishi. I'm sorry I can't pronounce your L-S-H-I appropriately.
However, if you email Jonathan at trivialwarfare@gmail.com and tell him how to pronounce it, he may correct it another time.
That would require a lot of work for Jonathan.
Fair enough. So Jonathan won't do it, but he'll be appreciative to know how to actually say your name.
Yes, that would be nice. It's probably something like Darlene. Okay, guys. So we have an awesome community going on at Trivial Warfare Army. It's a Facebook group. Just search for that term on Facebook and you'll find us. You can become a warhead at trivialwarfare.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Trivial Warfare. And Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
Okay, sounds good. Ben, thank you very much for the questions. We really appreciate that.
Actually, overall, it was a good job. Challenging, but good job.
Thanks.
Mark, thanks for coming in again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. First Lady, great job, especially last week.
Thanks.
All right. Jonathan, again, as always, thanks for giving us the platform to be able to do this stuff. And so until next time. Oh, wait. You can find me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Please send in your Warm It Up Chris questions. And until next time, that's Ben. That's the First Lady. That's Mark, also known as Baywatch. That's Jonathan. And I am Chris. And this is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war.
I can't,
take care, everybody.
I can't believe Chris won.
None of us can.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
Oh my God, the snickerdoodle is incredible.
I know, right?
Right? It's just so soft.
It melts in your mouth.
Not in your hand.
Right? Right?
Oh, I love that thing.
It's like a stick of butter with cinnamon on it.
They must have used like at least 2 sticks of butter in this batter or something.
In each cookie.
Don't ask how many calories are in them.
I'm getting a coronary just by thinking about it.